the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Fellow redeemed, we don't know how many people Jesus healed throughout his earthly ministry. Scripture doesn't reveal this to us. But what we do know is that filled with compassion for those who are suffering, Jesus healed those with various bodily diseases and other impairments. He's cast out demons, as we've heard so often throughout the season of Lent. And he shows himself to be the God of life, raising people from the dead. Because of these miracles, and along with his teaching, usually a great multitude followed after Jesus. And we see this in the gospel for this day. Jesus had gone to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, likely seeking a place for quiet prayer, a place to teach his disciples. And yet, a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. It's here where this great crowd of about 5,000 men, not counting women and children, was left without food. And so, seeing this large crowd, Jesus says to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" Good question, right? Well, Jesus says this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. And Philip answers this way, 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Now, hearing Philip and Andrew's words, this appears to be a hopeless situation, right? Where are you going to get bread? Where are you going to get food? There's not enough. Yet it's in this instance where Jesus miraculously multiplies the 5 loaves and 2 fish in order to feed over 5,000 men. Now, if you include women and children, the crowd would have likely been over 10,000 people easily. And as indicated by the fact that the disciples filled 12 baskets with leftovers, these people had more than enough food to eat. They went away with bellies full. And this miracle, this sign, as St. John calls it, here Jesus reveals that he is the true God in human flesh and blood. He is the God who with the Father and the Holy Spirit was in the beginning creating all things. He's the God who with the Father and the Holy Spirit continues to create and continues to preserve all things today. So how did the people respond to this incredible miracle? Well, St. John says they planned to take Jesus by force and to make him their king. The people here had certain physical needs, good health, food. And in healing the sick, and in feeding people, Jesus was providing for their bodily needs, wasn't he? And the people here wanted this to continue. Ultimately, their physical needs directed their faith. Now, there's a book by an LCMS pastor entitled, "Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up?" Now, in this book, the pastor lists 12 false Christs that people often create for themselves. And he gives them various names. He calls them the mascot, or the good teacher, or the national patriot, the social justice warrior. He writes that in order to quiet the real Jesus, the Jesus who condemns sin, the Jesus who suffered the just punishment for sin, the Jesus who gains for us eternal life through his death on the cross. Well, the sinful flesh loves to reshape Jesus to fit our desires, to fit our dreams, our hopes, our aspirations. We remove the pieces of the real Jesus that makes us feel uncomfortable, that we don't like, and we reshape Jesus to fit him, to have him fit our agenda, our lives. And we see this in the text this morning. Desiring to have their bellies full, the crowd doesn't appear to be too concerned about what Jesus had to say about who he is, about what he had come to do. They wanted Jesus to be their king, that is, a king who would provide for all their physical needs. Jesus, perceiving then that they were about to come to take him by force, to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Yet this peace would be short-lived. If you read on in the Gospel according to St. John, you'll see that the crowd catches up to Jesus the next day. And it's here where Jesus offers them something more than just daily bread. He offers them the bread of life, the food that if you eat of it, you will live forever. Jesus offers them his own flesh and blood as food. True faith lives on the flesh and blood of Jesus. It lives on his holy obedience. It lives on his perfect love. It lives on his innocent suffering and death. It lives on his sacrifice on the cross, where he bears our sin and the sins of the entire world. This is the food that faith craves, the food that faith desires to eat. Faith lives on Jesus, the bread of life, come down from heaven. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that come down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." 1,400 years earlier, God had fed the Israelites with manna for 40 years as they traveled through the wilderness. You heard that in the Old Testament for this day. And this manna was a wonderful sign of God's fatherly care for his people. And now, as Jesus feeds the 5,000 men with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, he reveals he's the same God who cares for the physical needs of his people. And yet Jesus has much more to give them than just daily bread. He offers them himself, his own flesh and blood, as the living bread come down from heaven, that whoever feeds on him in faith will not die, but live forever. Just as he said, "Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." Jesus speaks plainly and directly to us. We often think that our greatest needs is that which our body craves. And who can argue when you're hungry? Who can argue when you're sick with a fever? You know that if the fever goes away, if the hunger goes away, you could have energy and function normally again. What we feel and need speaks powerfully. These things direct our faith to what the body wants. Guess what? Jesus knows what our body needs. as true God, he is also true man. He hungered, he thirsted, just as we do. And he knows that what we elevate our needs to that which we believe we need the most, he who bore our sin and our weaknesses and our illnesses and diseases in his own body is tempted in every single way that we are, yet without sinning. Jesus knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows the demands of the body make upon our faith, insisting that its needs must trump all other needs. And yet, just as Jesus provides for the needs of your body, he teaches us what we really need in life, and that is eternal life itself. Life is more than just food. The body is more than just clothes. Good health is here today and it's gone tomorrow. Your life is headed to the grave. Those in the wilderness who ate the manna that God gave to them died. Every one of the 5,000 men, along with the women and the children that Jesus miraculously fed in the wilderness, they too died. And everyone who eats of the food that God provides for us daily will die. In the face of sin and its wages of death, you need God's forgiveness and life. And it's more than just life without end. It's a life lived at peace with the Creator of life. It's life lived under the shelter of the cross, where the God-man, Jesus Christ, offers up his flesh and blood for the life of the world, for your life and for mine. Jesus knows all of your needs, and he meets them all. When you're tempted to look around and to elevate your needs based off your feelings, Jesus would have you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He knows you better than you do. And the most important thing that you need is the forgiveness and life that only he can give. It's in his flesh and blood offered up to the Father on the cross for the life of the world. You need his righteousness as your robe. You need his words of life. You need his washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. You need his body and blood in the sacrament of the altar. Now consider this last point for a moment. In the last section of the small catechism, that is, under Christian questions with their answers, Luther poses this question to us. But what should you do if you are not aware of this great need to receive the sacrament of the altar frequently and have no hunger and thirst for it? It's a question. Luther responds this way. To such a person, no better advice can be given than this. First, he should touch his body to see if he still has flesh and blood. Do you have flesh and blood? Well, then listen to this. What Scripture says in Galatians 5, which reveals the desires of the flesh and of the spirit are opposed to one another. Second, he should look around to see whether he is still in the world. Are you still in the world? By all means, yes. Then remember this, that there will be no lack of sin and trouble, as Scripture says in John 15 and 16. Third, he will certainly have the devil also around him, who with his lying and murdering day and night will let him have no peace within or without, as the Scriptures picture him in John 8. And isn't this what we've heard throughout the season of Lent? Satan seeks to destroy our faith. We need Jesus. You need him where he promises to come to you. In his word, in his sacraments. And you need him not just occasionally, but constantly. You need him not only when you feel the need for him, but even when you don't feel like you need him. Jesus is the living bread that comes down from heaven, that gives life to the world through his death on the cross. And through his word and sacrament, he comes to you. He gives you what you need, his righteousness, his forgiveness, his eternal life, his kingdom. And you know what else? You don't have to pay for it. He gives it to you all free of charge. So come, eat, and fill yourself on the one who is the bread of life. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.